Mike for asking me to step in, preach in his absence. I want to thank the elders for allowing me to get up here and bring another lesson. And this morning's lesson that I want to be talking about is about the parable of the soils. We're going to start off by reading Mark 4, verses 1 through 20. He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky road, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So if we can go back to verse 1 again, in verse 1, Jesus begins to teach, and as he does, a large crowd gathers around him. And because they do, he gets in a boat and on the sea, and he begins to teach while the people are on the shore. And in verse 3, notice the exclamation mark. It said in verse 3 that the first thing that Jesus says is, "Listen to this." So Jesus wants them to pay attention. And in verse 9, the last thing he has to say in this parable is, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So you get the impression that Jesus wants us to hear what he has to say in this parable. And this parable is intended not only for those people that he is speaking to evaluate themselves, but for us to evaluate ourselves as well. It is intended for us to look at the man in the mirror and ultimately decide what kind of soul each of us are, or what kind of hearers we are. Much of the time, we want to blame the failure to obey the word of God on the preacher, but his parable puts the responsibility on those who hear. You can have the most dynamic, influential preacher there is, but if the people refuse to hear, what can he do? So this parable is intended for us to each one evaluate ourselves and decide what kind of soul or what kind of hearer we want to be. And it is imperative that we each be honest with ourselves, because to deceive yourself can cause you to be lost forever. So let's look at this parable, and you decide what kind of soul or hearer you are. in Mark 4:3, it says, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow." When it comes to what is being sown here or what the seed is here, verse 14 clears that up. And Jesus tells us in verse 14 what is being sown, or the seed of the Word of God is. And it is that the sower sows the Word of God. And as far as who the sower isn't specifically mentioned. But in the context of this passage, the sower is Jesus. And later it will become the apostles. Anyone who teaches the Word, including anyone who teaches or preaches the Word of God today. Now let's look at verse 4. "As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up." And we'll look at the explanation in verse 15. It says, "These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them." And notice the phrase, "These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown." Jesus is talking about people who hear the word, but then immediately Satan snatches the word away so that it can have no effect. And it is significant that Satan does this immediately. You see, Satan knows the power of the Word of God. And Satan knows that the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And Satan knows all the joy and peace and contentment and godliness and hope that the Word contains in it. He knows the promises and blessings and warnings against sin found in the Word. And he knows all the heartache and disappointment and conflict that the Word can prevent. And he is intent on destroying you, and so he is going to immediately snatch the Word away from you if he can. But what happened that caused the seed to just lay there on the top so that the devil was able to snatch the Word away? What caused it to just lay there so the birds can get it? And Luke says that in Luke 8:5, that the seed fell beside the road and it was trampled underfoot and the birds ate it. The word was beaten down before it ever had a chance to grow. And in Matthew 13:19, Matthew says that the word fell beside the road and those who heard it didn't understand it. And the word understand could also be translated consider it, which means they didn't even consider it. And what this all indicates is the ones that Jesus is talking about here are those who heard the word but didn't give the word a chance. It was never given an opportunity, maybe because of something someone else had told them or because of their preconceived ideas. Whatever the case, they had hardened themselves against it, and that played right into Satan's hand. And that is what a lot of people, perhaps even some here this morning, do. We never give the word a chance. We never give it a chance to make a difference in our lives. I think most of you, like me, know of someone whose life isn't a real mess. Turmoil in the marriage, problems with kids, difficulties on the job, or even if they have a job, experiencing financial ruin. And the Word of God could change their world completely around. The Word could improve and save their marriage. The Word could bring peace and harmony to their family. The Word could help them raise their children. And the Word could help them on their job and be a blessing to them in their financial struggles. And you have tried to talk to them and encourage them, but they won't even give you the word a chance. And consequently, their situation doesn't change. In fact, it only gets worse. And it may be that there is someone sitting here in this morning whose life is a mess, and even though you are here, you really haven't given the word a real chance in your life. You may have tried it for a few days, or maybe even a few weeks, or maybe you've applied bits and pieces of it. I will tell you, even bits and pieces can make a difference. But if you really want to change your life, give the word a chance. And let's look where the other seed fell in Mark 4, verses 5 and 6. "Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no roots, it withered away." And this isn't talking about ground with a lot of rocks on it. This is talking about a place where there is just a little bit of soil on top of a bedrock where a plant could sprout up, but could only root itself in the shallow topsoil. And look what happens in verses 5 and... Well, now look at an explanation of verses 16 and 17. In a similar way, these were the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and when they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. This is talking about someone who hears the word and accepts it, and they are excited and happy and so emotional. And they start out with such enthusiasm and eagerness, ready to do what they can. But the first time something happens, some affliction or persecution or difficulty arises, they fall away. They quit. Sometimes it doesn't even take a hardship. Sometimes it is just a matter of being inconvenient, too much trouble, or not what they expected. And since salvation is not counted to those who endure it for a while and quit, but to those who remain faithful until death, these too will be lost forever. So the question is, are you this kind of hearer or soul? Is your religion superficial? Is it shallow? Is it a Sunday-only religion? Is it a hit-and-miss religion? Hear a few times and then gone for several weeks or several months and then back again. I'm not talking about those who miss because of their jobs or because of an illness. I'm talking about those who are sporadic, inconsistent, with no legitimate reason. Did you respond to and obey the word of God only to fade and wither away? Are you a shallow soul? And if so, remember, salvation is for those who endure. Now let's look at where some other seed fell in verse 7. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And we'll go on to the verse 18 and 19 for the explanation. And the others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the wars of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Isn't this where a lot of us are? We get caught up in the affairs of the world. We worry about the kids, the weather, politics, sports, business. We get so busy with things and trying to gain possessions to the point that Jesus is just another thing, another activity, one that can easily be denied because there isn't enough time. And notice, Jesus mentions the deceitfulness of riches. We think, if I only had more money, more wealth, I'd be happy. I'd have made it. I'd have it made. The devil has sold us a bill of goods when it comes to riches. He says that all of our problems will be solved if we can just get that extra money to live on. But it's a lie. We give ourselves to it, and the result is our desire for riches has choked out the word. And he mentions desire for other things. These things are anything that causes you to push Christ back. Entertainment, sports, hobbies. All these activities that the world schedules in which we must involve ourselves and be busy, and it all chokes out the word. And the sad thing is, these thorns grow up in our hearts so subtly, and we are soon dead before we realize it. And the question is, are you this kind of soul? Do you not take time to study, go to church, to follow Christ, because you are just too busy? If so, I hope you repent, because just as material things will perish, so will you. And then there is a fourth place where the seed fell, in verse 8. Other seeds fell into good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now let's look at the explanation in verse 20. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. This is the good soil, and look what they do. They hear the word, and they accept it. They take it in, they let it shape them, and change them. And they guides them, and they bear the fruit. What kind of fruit will they bear? They can bear the fruit of winning souls to Christ in Romans 1, verse 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain the fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. And they also bear the fruit of sanctification in Romans 6, 22. But now, having been free from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome of eternal life. They also bear the fruit of sharing material things in Romans 15:27. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. And they also bear the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And they also bear the fruit of good works in Colossians 1:10. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And they also bear the fruit of praise and thanksgiving. Hebrews 13:15. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. And what happens to those who bear this kind of fruit? Paul says it best in 2 Timothy 4:8. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to those who, to all those who have loved His appearing. So the question is, what kind of soil are you? Are you hard soil that the word can't penetrate? Are you rocky soil, superficial, no depth, no commitment, easily uprooted? Are you crowded soil, so crowded in your life that the word is being choked out? Or are you good soil that is fertile, broken, receptive, committed, and deeply rooted? It is so important for you to be honest, because it can be the difference between eternal life and being eternally lost. If you are not what you need to be, you can change. It's not too late. You can read the Word. Get yourself into it daily. Find out what it is saying. Accept it and don't quit. It's kind of funny. Satan doesn't mind if you want to admire the Word, to accept, he doesn't mind if you want to proclaim the Word. He doesn't mind if you want to dissect it, look at it, examine it, and study. He doesn't mind just as long as you don't plant the Word in your heart and allow it to grow. And one of Satan's most cherished victories is for someone to have received the Word and allow it to grow and live for years trusting in the Word. And then at the end, they quit. So don't quit. Weed your heart. Get rid of some of the thorns. And don't allow anything to crowd the Word out of your heart. So what kind of soul are you? If you're not the kind of soul that you should be, will you start today and make the change as together we stand and sing?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow.